think one of the things that we guard it very closely, that we need to literally spend time. If not, then if you're so busy in your own work and stuff like that, you will lose that, and you know, it will spiral down very quickly.
Hello and welcome to the Connect to Marriage podcast. I'm Gary and I'm your host for this episode. In each episode of the Connect to podcast, we'll be tackling questions that couples ask about marriage, communication, conflict, and so much more. We hope you will keep tuning in to learn with us as you grow closer, deeper, and stronger in your marriage. Microsoft researcher Linda Stone said, "Continuous partial attention is our new normal." In this world where multitasking and busyness is accepted and even celebrated, how do we give our loved ones, especially our spouse, the gift of our attention? In the last episode, Francis and Jocelyn shared some keen insights for pre-married couples to prioritize time together amidst the busyness of life. Today, we'll be diving deeper into their story as they share how they continue to nurture their relationship even after marriage, where often life gets busier. If you did not catch part one of this episode, I highly encourage you to do so. Francis and Jocelyn, welcome back to our Connect 2 podcast.
Hello.
We didn't mention the last time, but they have been married for 24 years and have three wonderful children, an 18-year-old son, a 14-year-old daughter, and a 7-year-old daughter. And I'm sure just having children at this ages and whichever age will definitely come into the busyness. We're really finding ourselves being so busy, but having children adds to that whole, how do I actually spend time with my spouse? We've been talking about being intentional, setting aside time. How do we actually manage all these things? Yeah, to kickstart, Francis, share with our listeners, after marriage to Jocelyn, did you have more or less time together?
During the earlier days of our marriage, I think we have a lot of time. I think, you know, there were no kids there. So during the earlier days, after marriage, you thought, oh, okay, since I have gotten my
prize,
my trophy, I kind of like slack and let down my guard and stuff like that. So we weren't very intentional in terms of our spending time with each other. Early on, I think in the first podcast, I shared that, you know, Jocelyn's love language is actually about spending time. And one of the weekends where we were, you know, we're at home, I'm pretty sure all couples will want to rest at home Saturday weekends, you know, wake up late and stuff like that.
No, I want to go out.
Yeah, but she wants to go out.
I
want to sleep in. But she said, no, I want to go to McDonald's. So that it was our very huge, humongous burst. One of the key thing is, you know, she was complaining, you know, I no longer love her because she wanted to spend time and she wanted to just go to McDonald's. And during that period, MRT was not available and we only had bus. So from the bus where we're staying, it took us about half an hour to go to the nearest McDonald's. We were staying at Serangoon North and I think we need to take about half an hour bus ride to go to Ang Mo Kio Hub. Now, you know, that time was Ang Mo Kio Interchange.
30 minutes is not a long time.
Yeah, it's not a long time.
But I think quality time.
But for me, it was like sleeping time. Yeah. So that was kind of like our very huge outburst. And, you know, we had to get our friends to come down to mediate for us. That was how serious the fight was. Yeah. I won't go into details how serious the fight was, but we had to ask our friend to come in. The thing is, I chose to be married and hence it's no longer about myself. And I have to make plans to be able to go out with her, know what are things that she likes and stuff like that. So I guess McDonald's was one of
the McDonald's kid.
McDonald's kid that she likes.
But I mean, it's surprising because it's like the first year of marriage. And I think in my expectation, it's like, oh, it's supposed to be honeymoon period, right? But first year already had such a fierce argument. At that time, like he mentioned, I think we weren't aware of what is love language. So we both very surprised at the outburst. It's like over a small thing to us. It's like, it's just McDonald's. I want to go there for the breakfast. Why did it get so bad that we had to call a friend down? After that, when we discovered love language, I realized, oh, yeah, that's the way I feel love, quality time. And the fact that you wanted to sleep in shows that you cared about yourself more than you cared about me, because that was the way I felt love. We learned love. We learned through the years.
So how do you navigate this now if Saturday morning and she wants to go to McDonald's?
No.
Just go to McDonald's.
Now the kids have become, say, mommy, can you bring me along?
Yes. The kids will demand, let's go to McDonald's then.
No, I call Grab. Now I got Grab. Last time, no Grab.
Yeah. But it's interesting because sometimes we don't realize when we are dating, we make time. But once you mentioned that after marriage, we don't become so intentional. You know, like we say, you got the prize possession ready, and then we become less intentional. Mm. We take things for granted a lot more quickly also. We don't realize that, but it happens. When you say you had an argument over McDonald's, it reminded me of when my wife and I got married. It was in the first few months, actually, over soccer. My wife's language is quality time, and I wanted to go out watch soccer with my friend. So it became a huge argument. And she came to the point where prefer soccer or me. I took some time to think and I couldn't give an immediate answer. I had to think like, huh? Well, the soccer team has been with me from the beginning of time, you know. So obviously I've learned since then that time is still so important for people, for couples. And even if it's love language, time is not my love language. I still need to, for a thriving relationship, we still need to be very intentional in setting time for each other.
Yes.
So having children now, how is that different? Having been intentional in the time that you spend with each other?
Because of what we learned through the years, right? That because of the lack of time, we actually, like, we took each other for granted and we kind of let things slide. There was a point in the marriage that there was a crisis because I think we were all busy with work and the kids and we didn't, like, is it intentional? And we brought maybe our work home, our work struggles home and things like that. Because of what we learned, actually, I would say we spend a lot more time now than in the earliest of marriage, even before kids, because of what we experienced. And so there would be the regular daily things. Like what he does is he would, in the middle of work, he would just give me a call and ask, oh, how are you? What are you doing now? Of course, it must be in a nice tone. I'm not like, well, checking on you, what are you doing now? You know, but he does that. So it made me feel like, hey, okay, you're thinking of me throughout the day. Even silly things like he likes to send TikTok videos or whatever, but he's sending to me, so he's thinking about me. And also the intentional date. So we actually try to do it once or twice a week. Actually once, because we meet at couples also. So actually the other time is actually reserved for like go and do something together. So I guess can consider that time span as well, but it's like serving others. And then for the bigger things that you don't do so often, we go for like occasional staycations. Holidays, of course, like, but that one is usually with kids.
Expensive.
And it's so expensive. Yeah. These are some things we do. So you have to take note of the like once in a blue moon or once a few months kind of things that you can do together. But the daily one, the day-to-day, what are you actually doing? That's important.
What else can couples do to sow into the relationship and spending time together in this busy, busy world?
Crafting out time is definitely important. One of the things you can definitely do is to probably leverage on each other in terms of what they like. Maybe common hobbies or common things they like to do. I think earlier on I mentioned about Netflix. Some of the common things is they like to chill out in maybe in one of the homes, just watch Netflix together, watch K-drama together, probably sometimes go for a walk.
Yeah, so I think finding something common, I think the couples that I met, the younger couples, they even go like, they both like gaming. So they game or some gym together. So it's finding a common, you have your own individual hobbies, but is there something common you can learn or do together? I think we also learned Japanese recently together, like last year, I think, for a couple of months. So it was interesting to see each other in a different light, like, because both struggling to, they're very stressed when the teacher asks you to answer in Japanese. So all these little things builds the relationship. You're spending time, but in a different way.
Very good. I think finding things to do together for my family, we decided to take Korean class together.
Okay.
My wife and I and our son at that time. Obviously, it was fun experience. I'm sure you all went through also where someone surpasses the other person and feel like the terrible student in class, you know.
Yeah.
And that happened for us with our son. He just superseded all of us. But the spending time together doing things that both enjoy, it, I think it's so critical. I just remember a couple where the wife loved watching dramas, but the husband, he was always tired because he was also in education. And just being end of the day, being a teacher, last thing I want is to watch drama, but the wife kept insisting and tension came about. So when you all mentioned, both must have the common interests. I think that's the most important. Rather than you force me to play games when I don't like playing games, but doing something creative, something you both enjoy, is so important. How do you all make time for each other now that you all have children also in the house? How do your children, do they know that, okay, this is mom and dad's time together, or do they always clamor for time from you? How do you actually juggle all those things?
Marriage is one of the most rewarding things in life. Yet, navigating marriage as newlyweds or an engaged couple can sometimes get overwhelming. Whether it's managing expectations of the in-laws, getting a good grasp of your family finances, or establishing good habits of communication and healthy conflict. Focus on the Family Singapore's Marriage Preparation Program aims to help you build a solid foundation in the early years and prepare you for the adventure of your life. Visit family.org.sg/C2Marriage Prep for more information today.
I I think the important thing, it's good if you have some time. I mean, of course, for couples and when you have kids, it's good if you have some form of help. For us, we are quite blessed because my mom can come over. When we go on dates, he comes over and help. Mm-hmm. And the kids are aware too because they say, oh, next time we married, you must come over how many times a week? Because you see, I see grandma always come over so that y'all can go out on dates. So they know and they see that it's actually an important part of marriage. But I think also to encourage like couples who might not have a family nearby to actually help out. You have a helper, but even if you don't, have a community. Because like for us, we belong to a church or community, so we do see friends helping each other. So there was once we bump into a family, then we say, Hali, how come suddenly there's so many kids? It's from church, but then we bump into them at somewhere. And then they say, oh, they actually helped somebody, a couple, because they were going for a Coldplay concert. Yeah, so there is a community. It could be your neighbors, your church community, or just friends that you have that help you so that you can just, you can help each other out.
I think at the end of the day, we just really need to be very intentional again to carve out time for each other. And it doesn't have to be a long time. It doesn't have to be like one whole day to spend time together. It could even be 1.5 hours or an hour of quality time connecting, talking about our lives rather than just talking about work, talking about the children, but talking about us and growing as a couple. Having done this for so long, just building into your relationship, what are some benefits you've seen, I mean, among yourselves and couples that you've helped?
One of the things is when we see couples hanging out quite a fair bit, and I think you can see them blooming in their relationship. They kind of like have lesser conflict. They kind of like, they are able to communicate better. Even if they have their own disagreement, they are able to talk things out. They are able to walk things through by themselves. I think that's what we have seen so far when we mentor couples.
And for ourselves as well.
I think for ourselves, right, because we've been through the crisis, so we kind of like, we are aware now that, hey, you know, this is one of the big things that we should not be taking on lightly. I think one of the things that we guard it very closely, that we need to literally spend time. If not, then if you're so busy in your own work and stuff like that, you will lose that, and you know, it will spiral down very quickly.
So for listeners who are tuning in, if you're going through a difficult patch where after marriage you're struggling just to have time, please know that it is normal. Mm-hmm. Sometimes we all feel the tension. But more importantly, we need to do something about it rather than just live in this tension and just accept that as part of life. But until and unless we are intentional in setting aside time for each other, it can be quite detrimental to a healthy relationship. Yeah. In each podcast, we address a frequently asked question that couples have about dating and marriage. Today's question is, I assume this is from a wife to a husband. My husband and I are newly married and we are struggling to be present with each other every evening after work. I want to connect and share about how my day has been. Well, my husband wants to sleep because he's tired. We don't have kids yet, but we are planning for our first soon. I'm fearful that this is already happening now. It will be worse once the child comes. How should I communicate this to my husband?
One of the key things from the wife perspective for probably to be able to share that she understands that he is tired because of the work. And one of the key things is not to be over critical about that probably he doesn't love her at all. That's a very critical component. Know that they are at the same team. They are working together to make this marriage work. If she keeps on criticizing him, say that, you know, she doesn't love her and, you know, he's always tired. And I think very soon you will find out that it will spiral down very quickly. The other thing to note, that be interested in his day. I think Jocelyn earlier on mentioned about me interested in what he's doing. Once you are interested in what he's doing, it's very easy for him to engage in a conversation with you, to be able to talk to you, and then from there, then he can share what he's struggling. From there, I think it's a no-brainer that you are able to share your day from then onwards. There are some of the exercises where we share with our younger couples that we have mentored. I think one of the things would be to be assertive. When we say assertive, means you are able to express your feelings, express your thoughts. I think one of the things that you should be able to do is to express your concern, how this issue might worsen once the kids come along. That's one of the key things. The wife must be able to express this in a very loving manner. The wife can say things like, I wish that you will understand that if you do not have time for me, and once the children comes along, we are so tired with taking care of our children, she can say that I'm afraid that you will not have time for me, and this will worsen as the day goes by. I think the I wish statement is very important from either the wife to the husband or vice versa, so that they are able to express their concerns to each other.
I think the one thing about the I wish statement that's important is also that you don't just say, I wish for you to spend more time with me, but can be more specific. Maybe spend time with me once a week on a date, because this is the part that maybe a lot of couples we tell, but we don't say how it actually makes us feel. So we can say, I wish that you would spend every Friday with me on a date. Because that will make me feel, that what's the emotion, that will make me feel very cherished and loved. So adding the emotion part so that each one understand that actually this action translates to a very positive emotion if you do it. Nah.
Well, of course, the other thing would be, again, to emphasize that the wife must be thinking more from a perspective to be able that we are working as a team and probably to brainstorm some ideas. I think early on, you know, I mentioned, say they watch Netflix, some common interests they have together, then that will be able to meet both the needs. You know, maybe the husband is tired and whatever the wife is proposing might be boring to him. So some of the common things they need to brainstorm together in order to be able to meet each other's needs.
Especially when the kids are younger, you don't really have time. Okay, now our kids are a bit older, so we can go out for extended dates. But I think when it's newborn and things like that, it's really very something very simple. It could be like just taking the time out to go to the mall nearby, neighborhood mall. You just go to the supermarket and buy groceries together. It's also, and then along the way you chit-chat and then you do things. It's still that time spent. So it doesn't need to be. Sometimes we think of very big ideas, which in reality might not be able to be carried out at that season of life. But think about the little things that you think you can do.
Very good. So it boils down to really making that time and being very intentional in what we do with that time. We can watch drama together, but actually not be spending time together at all, right? But doing something that we both will mutually enjoy and we both know that it feeds our emotional tank. I think that it's critical in this whole busy, busy world that we live in. Thank you, Francis and Jocelyn. Today, you have been sharing candidly, you know, with just your own experiences, your challenges, your arguments about McDonald's. Now, people will think twice before they order McDonald's, whether it will be attention for them. Yeah, but thank you for sharing with us, you know, how a husband and wife can continue to grow their love for each other in this busy world full of distraction and responsibilities. Before we let you go, could you leave any word of encouragement or last tips for our listeners?
I think what Jocelyn earlier mentioned, I think finding a community with childcare is very important once your kids come along. You know, whether your parents or parents-in-law is able to help you out with that. Earlier on, you know, she also mentioned friends is able to help you to take care while you go for a Coldplay or Taylor Swift concert. And also finding alternative time to talk other than Monday to Friday. I do know of some couples, they put their kids to sleep and they sneak off to watch movie after the kids go to sleep.
Older kids, this one.
Yeah, this one is old. Yeah, but the younger ones, I don't encourage this. Yeah, so I think that in a way you can enjoy yourself while the kids are sleeping for older kids. But in the very last thing I want to leave behind is actually finding couples or mentors who can journey with you, who have been through this experience. I think what we have gone through, we want to be able to encourage couples before they're married or even those who are going through issues with their marriage. You know, we run alongside them and, you know, and we help them. So it's very important for you to find mentors and other couples who have been through a lot more in their marriage to walk alongside you. These are the very important things that they will help you. I think this is one of the things that we were missing in our earlier days and we have to struggle through that in our earlier marriage.
Okay, since we're talking about love language, what some practical steps like to intentionally actually build this culture of like meeting each other's love language, right? Is that perhaps each partner lists down 5 to 10 things you would like your spouse to do in relation to your top love language. Like for me, it's quality time. So I could be writing down a date every maybe once a week. Mm. Yeah, or I can list down what are the things that would make me feel or spending time talking to me without talking purely about kids. Because sometimes we can talk to each other, but the conversation is all about facts and information and problem solving. But so I could put list that down. So if let's say it's a list of 5 to 10, I need to do it with, because we teach marriage preparation course together, we actually challenge them to do that. You come up with a list and you see how long you take to tick off maybe 10 items. You write down, then you show it to your partner. So every time you do it, you check it off. So this really intentionally investing into the marriage.
Thank you so much, the two of you. In each podcast, we end off with a couple challenge for couples to do and share with each other. So if you're listening to this with your spouse, do this. Ask each other this question. What is one small action you would like me to start doing to love you better amidst our busy schedules? For example, a hug before you leave for work, going to bed at the same time, or leaving on time from the office and not overtiming. We hope this episode has encouraged you and given you some practical tips on how to deepen intimacy in your marriage. If you're looking out for more resources and to grow your relationship and marriage, do visit our website at family.org.sg to browse our articles or check out our upcoming events. We hope by now you've already subscribed to our Connect 2 podcast and followed us on Facebook and Instagram. As always, do share this episode with a friend who may benefit from it. Thank you for tuning in, and until next time, take care of yourself and your spouse.